Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, there really were just two stories that were so big that you really could almost talk about nothing else. We're talking about the Michael Cohen testimony and President Trump's visit to North Korea, both kind of happening at the same time, both revealing a lot about the president. So we got different perspectives this week. Congressman Ted Lieu, Antonio Villaraigosa, the former mayor of Los Angeles. We've got with us Heidi Hamilton and Pete Weitzner, all with interesting perspectives, plus a couple that has very different views and yet somehow make their marriage work. Lots of different voices in the show this week, and we're excited for you to listen to it. So here we go. Welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, political earthquakes.
Isn't it true that President Trump misled at best, or worse, lied under oath?
Yes.
By any measure, it was an extraordinary national spectacle, denouncing a sitting president on live TV by a disbarred lawyer whose testimony triggered furious reaction. One prominent journalist says the House committee hearing was, quote, the first unofficial hearing of the impeachment process. Is the media jumping the gun? And what about that summit in North Korea? Standing by in Washington, Southern California Congressman Ted Lieu, a member of the Foreign Affairs and Judiciary Committees. Also, this week's panel is here, radio star Heidi Hamilton, former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, and broadcaster and media professor Pete Weitzner. Plus, the husband and wife power couple who managed to keep romance alive despite fiercely different views on Russia. Stephen Cohen, Katrina Vandenhoevel are here to fight it out. The Issue Is starts right now. Thank you so much for joining us for The Issue Is, another huge week in politics. I'm Alex Michelson, and joining us now is Democratic Congressman Ted Lieu of Torrance. Congressman, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thank you, Alex.
What a week. We're going to talk about Michael Cohen in a moment, but let's begin with North Korea. You are on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. President Trump decided to walk away from negotiations, no deal signed in North Korea. What do you make of the summit?
I think it's better to have no deal rather than a bad deal. I previously served on active duty with the United States Air Force. One of my first duty stations was Anderson Air Force Base in Guam, and we would do all sorts of different military exercises, much of it directed against North Korea. And I can tell you, there are no good military options. So diplomacy is really our only viable path, but we have to have a good deal. And so if the president doesn't think there's a good deal and he walked away from it, I would support that. But we do need to continue further talks and have additional pathways to diplomacy, because that's really our only alternative.
Do you trust Kim Jong-un? And what do you make of the president sort of cozying up to him?
I don't trust Kim Jong-un, and I was very skeptical of U.S. negotiators saying they would be okay with North Korea not disclosing all of its nuclear inventory. I thought that was a bad idea, and I'm glad that the president walked away from that.
Some people on Twitter are now using the hashtag TrumpFail in response to what happened with this summit. You tweeted about that. You said, the hashtag TrumpFail is trending, and I find it inappropriate, you say. People should not be hoping the president fails or taking pleasure in his failure on the global stage. Whether you like the president or not, he represents America in foreign affairs. We want America to succeed. Some people are pointing out the fact that that's interesting coming from you, because you are so often a critic of President Trump on Twitter, so often mock him on Twitter. Isn't that tweet a bit hypocritical?
No, not at all. We're all Americans, and we should want the president to succeed on the global stage. I criticize the president when he engages in behavior that is inappropriate or crosses a line, or he takes policy decisions I disagree with. But I also have commended the president multiple times in the past. The press doesn't really report about it, but I do it because I call it as I see it. It just happens that Donald Trump mostly does things I disagree with. But when he does something that's right, I do commend him for it.
And you've pointed that out sometimes here on The Issue Is. So we appreciate that. Right. Let's talk about the other big story in Washington of the week, which is, of course, Michael Cohen and the testimony that got so much attention. Kevin McCarthy, who's the Republican leader, who's also a California congressman, said that he didn't learn anything from Michael Cohen's testimony, and he's not concerned about anything that Michael Cohen said. Did you learn anything?
Absolutely. I'm going to give you four things that we learned. But first, the general picture that Michael Cohen painted under oath is that our president and his associates engaged in criminal conduct. So not only did Michael Cohen under oath say that the president essentially made these hush money payments, he also produced two documents. One was a check that Donald Trump signed as president for a hush money payment. And second was a check that Don Jr. and Alan Weisselberg, the CFO of the Trump Organization, also signed. That directly implicates them in a conspiracy of a campaign finance violation for which Michael Cohen is going to prison for. Second thing that we learned is that Don Jr. and Ivanka were briefed about Trump Tower Moscow. And then third, we were also told from Michael Cohen that Donald Trump told him while he was president to mislead the American people about the Stormy Daniels story.
Do you think that Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump should testify before Congress? And would you consider subpoenaing them yourself?
I do believe they should testify because of their public reporting in the press, as well as Michael Cohen's testimony under oath. They have information that Congress needs to know. And if they don't come to testify, one of the tools Congress has is subpoena power.
You are on the Judiciary Committee, which is where, if there was an impeachment inquiry, it would be based out of. From what you've seen so far, are we closer to impeachment? Do you believe that there should be impeachment hearings for President Trump?
Right now, the Judiciary Committee doesn't have a record. So the first thing we need to do is build a record. What we have are newspaper articles. We have people making statements in different committees. We have statements made on TV. What we need to do is call in witnesses, get the testimony under oath, get depositions, get documents, and have these hearings for the American people. And then once we build that record, it's either going to exonerate Donald Trump and his associates, or it won't. And then we can make a decision with the American people as to where we proceed from there.
Have you talked to the chair of the Judiciary Committee? Have you asked him to begin impeachment hearings like you just mentioned?
I have not, but we have talked about going forward with our oversight and investigatory responsibilities. And the mission of the House Judiciary Committee is much broader than Special Counsel Mueller. He's interested if anyone committed a crime related to Russia. The Judiciary Committee is interested if anyone committed a crime, whether or not it relates to Russia. Second, we want to know if anyone committed inappropriate, bad, or unethical acts, whether or not it technically becomes a felony. And then third, we want to know how do we prevent this from happening again, and how do we tell the American people what happened?
Well, Congressman, you've been on our show several times. You know we like to play some games on this show. One of them is the name game. With, you know, I know Beyonce is your favorite, so anytime you get to hear her, I know you get excited. This is where we go through some names of people in the news, and you give me one word or a short response on your response. That you look very excited. With President Trump.
Just one word, right?
Yes.
All right, crook.
Okay. Michael Cohen.
Remorseful.
Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows together, the House Freedom Caucus.
Tea Party.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the new freshman sensation.
Terrific.
And Senator Kamala Harris.
Amazing.
So, Senator Harris, you've endorsed her for president already. But we don't even know who is all going to be in the field. We haven't seen any debates. We haven't seen many of the speeches yet. Why endorse her so soon? Yeah. And why endorse her at all?
Right. Thanks for that question. I've known Kamala for many years. We worked on different issues, including bail reform, which is an important element of criminal justice reform. She is tough. She is progressive. She is brilliant. She can unify people, and she's the person we need to lead us in 2020.
So even if Biden enters the race, you're still with Senator Harris?
I am. Joe Biden is great. Many of the other candidates are great. But I believe Kamala Harris would be the best nominee for the Democrats.
Well, it's going to be an interesting campaign. And the other thing that I think makes you interesting especially is your love of Pat Benatar. So we love to play music on this show. So we're going to end our segment with you with a little Invincible, which I know is your favorite song.
Thank you, Alex.
Yes. Congressman Lou, he's dancing inside right now.
That's right, dancing inside.
Congressman Ted Lieu, Democrat at Torrance, thanks for being with us. Up next, a lot to talk about with our panel. There they are. They are ready to go, and we are going to be hearing from them when we come back. What are we running for?
I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist, he is a con man, and he is a cheat.
He's convicted, he's a liar, he's defrauded at a high level, he's got a lot of problems.
Well, the Avicii song, Liar, Liar, seems fitting this week. President Trump calling Michael Cohen a liar, Michael Cohen calling the president a liar, and the American people trying to figure out the truth somewhere in the middle, I guess. We're here with this week's panel. Antonio Villaraigosa is with us. Of course, he's the former mayor of Los Angeles. A lot of people know him from that. Since leaving office, he ran for governor. He's joined the national public affairs firm Mercury, whose global reach includes clients in Central and South America and even China. Also with us, Heidi Hamilton. She's back from Dish Nation, which you can see every day on Fox 11. She also co-hosts the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show on KLOS-FM. And you can learn a lot more about her on her website, HeidiHamilton.com, which highlights her pet cause, which is adopting shelter animals. Thank you for your work on that. Pete Weitzner is here. He lectures at Chapman University, introducing young minds to the world of broadcast journalism. Why would you want to do that? Pete is also the business news anchor for Southern California's PBS station. And the editor for the Orange County Business Journal. And he's not only a Trumpista, but an animal lover whose cute little dog is named, what else? Melania.
Pete, are you kidding me? Oh.
And I live in one of a few places, Balboa Island, Newport Beach, where I can freely rock my Trump gear.
There you go. Right. All right, well, welcome to West LA.
I left it at home.
Let's talk about Michael Cohen's testimony, sort of your big takeaway. Do you think that this changes the game in any way?
I think, you know, people that support Donald Trump are going to continue to support Donald Trump. People who don't won't. And I don't think it's in the middle. I think the majority of people think that Donald Trump has lied, and Michael Cohen clearly has lied.
He's going to jail, and there's mm-hmm. it's like, and why would he risk? He's going to jail because he lied.
Right.
So why lie again, knowing if I lie again, I'm going to go to jail. So I do believe for even longer.
For longer.
Right. So
I
do.
Saw what happened to Manafort when he did that.
Yeah.
So I do believe him.
And it may happen here because I think Meadows and Jordan are looking at like six allegations of perjury from his testimony this week. Look, we all know who we voted for. I know who I voted for. He didn't tell us anything new. That's Donald Trump with a 45-year record. I think the more embarrassing thing, frankly, is scheduling that hearing with that witness, a convicted perjurer, lied to the IRS, when one of the most important events is happening, the face-to-face talks about denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. 25-1, the amount of time, Alex, that MSNBC broadcast networks devoted to Cohen over the summit.
Well, we're going to talk about the summit in our next segment, but let's talk a little bit more about Michael Cohen. And is there anything, Pete, that would make you think, President Trump, you've gone too far?
I grew up in New York. I know Donald Trump. This is the person we elected. For me, right person at the right time, and my alternative was Hillary Clinton. So is there anything? I'm not going to say.
So did you like Donald Trump, or did you dislike Hillary Clinton?
I like Trump for the office in this time period. And I will say this.
And you still like him?
I'm not saying sculptors in South Dakota should be getting new chisels, but almost the late great, real quick, the late great Larry Thomas used to be press secretary for Vice President Bush, told me on election night, said, Pete, he wants to do great things. Korea would be one example. Everything he's promised he would do, he has put on the table.
All right, well up next.
Subject for much discussion.
Yes, and up next, when is it time to walk away? We're going to talk about that North Korea summit when we come back. Comedian Philip Wilburn sent us this video of him as the president in a parody of that big moment from the Oscars, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga singing together. All we need is Michael Cohen, and this would encapsulate the entire week, right, in that video. Back with our panel, Antonio Villaraigosa, Heidi Hamilton, Pete Weitzner. So let's talk about that North Korea summit. Pete, right time to walk away?
Absolutely. The art of no deal. I didn't care for the comment about Otto, the young
Warm
man who
beer.
Died.
Yeah.
He was too deferential to to Kim. But real quick, to have face-to-face talks with the North Koreans since the Soviet Empire fell, you know this, Mayor Heidi, you ask anyone, diplomat, ambassadors, what is the most dangerous place in the world, and they would tell you for the last 30 years it's North Korea. It took Donald Trump to pull off back-to-back face-to-face talks.
Even Dennis Rodman couldn't get that done. Right? You understand?
And Dennis Rodman. My fellow New Port resident. Right.
I'm not sure he should have had the meeting in the first place. When you read between the lines, there was very little preparation going into that meeting. He meets with heads of state, particularly adversaries, Putin and now Kim, without translators, without assistance, one-on-one conversations with a man that we know not only lies as much as he does, but also gets the facts wrong.
And well, you've mentioned this Otto Warmbier thing, which is the American who had been apparently tortured there, ended up dying right after coming back to America. Right. The president saying he basically takes Kim Jong-un at his word. Even as a Trump supporter, you're skeptical of that.
By the way, for taking a poster off a wall, for just going, oh, I'm going to take it.
Exactly what does that make you think?
It's ridiculous.
You asked if there's something he could do. How do you not say? And he's not even standing there with Kim, then I would give a little deference. All right, it's in Vietnam, but he's standing there with Mike Pompeo. You could say, we're establishing a relationship. We had the face-to-face talks. There's no excuse for that. I did bring it up. There is no excuse for that. I'm not sure I buy that he didn't know it happened.
Donald Trump almost didn't go to that Vietnam meeting because he said he had bone spurs in his foot.
The president not maybe having his best week as president between Cohen and this North Korea thing not working out. Where do you see things in the 2020 race right now, Mayor?
I don't think whoever's leading today is going to be there at the end of the day. It's going to be, a wide open race. And there's no question that Donald Trump could get reelected if we don't do it right.
Yeah.
Now, is there going to be a Republican running against Donald Trump, or is that bad
William
etiquette?
William Weld has said he's getting in the race. He's switched back from Libertarian. Yeah. So, no. And there's one or two other names that are less known than William Weld.
Maybe John Kasich. Who knows? Maybe.
I've already prepared myself. You know, my group of friends, I'm like, listen, it's just another 4 years, and then we're done. And they're like, please don't say that.
I want to give a shout-out to Heidi, because this morning you worked with your friends at KLOS,
yes.
Along with St. Jude. We were out there on Good Day LA, raising a whole lot of money for kids facing some really tough medical conditions. And so a big shout-out to you and to
Thank
your team.
Thank you so much.
Up next, a couple with some very different views on Russia. We're talking about Katrina Vandenhoevel and Stephen Cohen, two of the country's leading intellectuals, battle it out on Russia. And they also share the secret to marrying someone who you disagree with.
Oh,
look at that. Lots of love. I think that's the secret. Back with more of The Issue Is right after this. From Russia with Love is a perfect song for our next guest. Earlier, I moderated a bit of a debate between two leading intellectuals who also happen to be husband and wife.
It has been a challenging period living with Russia's, the most controversial Russia expert in America.
Katrina Vandenhoevel and Stephen Cohen are a married couple with very different political views. Katrina is editor and publisher of The Nation, one of the top liberal publications in the world. Stephen is author of War with Russia? From Putin and Ukraine to Trump and Russiagate.
I've been studying Russia up close as a professor and as a kind of occasional member of the media for going on 50 years, and I have never felt we were at greater risk of war with Russia.
Cohen says Americans should think differently about Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I see Putin as a normal, traditional leader in Russia's tradition. So I evaluate Russian leaders in their own history, not in American history. I mean, Bernie Sanders is not going to sit in the Kremlin.
What do you make of President Trump's relationship with Vladimir Putin?
I have looked at all the allegations regarding some secret relationship between Putin and Trump. I find zero evidence for this.
Do you think there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia?
What I believe is that the Mueller report should be released fully to the American people. I think what we're going to see is a cesspool of corruption, cronyism, of tax evasion, of money laundering we've already seen through the indictments.
We know these guys are corrupt. I mean, financially, these political operatives, whether they're operating here or abroad. This shouldn't be a question about impeachment.
So you say there's corruption, but it's not impeachable. Do you agree with that?
I think impeachment needs to find its way. I think Representative Jerry Nadler, chair of the Judiciary Committee, has been sober-minded about finding the facts and the evidence. Impeachment is a very political act. I'm in favor of impeachment by the ballot box. Let us oust Donald Trump in 2020 to a very vigorous, honest election.
You're contradicting yourself. If you go along with what these Democrats who now control the House want to do, they want to investigate and impeach. I think it's an obscenity.
With arguments like these, how do these two make marriage work?
Off camera, she turns to me and says, you know, I know you're right.
Oh,
I forgive her everything she said.
I think it's a shared history.
Shared
I think it's
history.
A 27-year-old daughter who's extraordinary, clerking for the Ninth Circuit.
I think ultimately the fact is we've loved each other for 35 or 40 years. We sleep together. And in the end, we know there are more important things. But we do feel differently and very strongly about what I think is an unprecedented situation. And it's Trump. I mean, Trump's come into everybody's household.
Trump has thrown everyone an upended. You know how many friendships, marriages have been tormented and upended. We're keeping ours together. We're not going to give in to Trump.
The full interview with Stephen and Katrina can now be heard as a special Issue Is podcast. Search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. You can also watch the full thing at youtube.com/AlexMichelson. I'm Alex Michaels. Thanks for watching. Have a good night and a great weekend.
So that was a lot of fun. Good for them. I think they're a model. I need some help finding somebody like that. All right. That's all for this week. Please subscribe to our podcast. And I hope you also check out that bonus podcast, the interview with Katrina and Stephen. It's really interesting, especially for those people that are interested in hearing a very different view on Russia. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time for The Issue Is.